Exodus chapter 9. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go in to Pharaoh and tell him, 'Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me.'" No need to change the message because Pharaoh has not lived up to this command as of yet. So he's just spinning his wheels, going nowhere, and God just keeps hitting him with the same command. Verse 2, "For if you refuse to let them go and will still hold them," in other words, something bad's going to happen, you can count on it, "behold, the hand of the Lord is upon your cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, upon the sheep, there shall be a very grievous murrain." In other words, a severe pestilence. Bad things are going to happen to your animals. And of course, that means money, a loss of money. You know, they were keeping the Hebrew slaves there. They didn't want to give them up, I'm sure, because it really helped the gross national product. It brought in a lot of cheap labor, and it made a nice profit for the Egyptians. But they're starting to lose money with all these plagues. They've got to be. Verse 4, "And the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is the children of Israel's." And so, again, God says, I'm not going to touch my people because they're on my side, and I'm on their side. But you, Pharaoh, are opposing me, so you're going to get it if you don't repent. 5, "And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, 'Tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land,'" just to eliminate any thoughts of a coincidence in the mind of Pharaoh. God says, this time it's going to happen, at this particular time, and then you will know. At least you should know. Of course he won't. 6, "And the Lord did that thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died, but the cattle of the children of Israel died not one." God didn't have anything against his people. They were victims. And he's trying to get Israel set free. And he's trying to get Pharaoh to understand that he is real and that the Israelites are his people, and he better start treating them right. Verse 7. "And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, that he did not let the people go." When he saw that the Israelites' cattle were all in good shape, that should have convinced him that God, the God of Israel, was real and he meant business. And he was angry at him. But instead, old Pharaoh hardened his heart again. He just hates the truth. Stubborn, rebellious, arrogant. 8, "And the Lord said to Moses and to Aaron, 'Take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh.'" Do this in Pharaoh's mind, in Pharaoh's sight, and tell him what you're doing, so he knows this is another thing that's coming from me. Verse 9, "And it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains," and that's blisters and sores, "upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt." Now it's hitting the Egyptians personally. Before it was their animals, their crops, their river. Now it's hitting their bodies. Of course, it probably did earlier with the, if nothing else, with the flies and with the lice. But this one is just a direct attack on the bodies of the Egyptians. 10, "And they took ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it up toward heaven, and it became a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and beast." So Moses did what God wanted him to do in the exact manner that God wanted him to do it, and the results that God said would be there were there. Verse 11, It says, and the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils. For the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. So these magicians who tried to match the power of God are no match for God, and they know it. They couldn't stand before Moses. They had to bail out because they were hit so hard, just like everybody else. And if these guys got hit, then how in the world can they help the other Egyptians? That should be the message sent to Pharaoh and to everybody. 12. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not to them, as the Lord had spoken to Moses. And it's true that God did harden the heart of Pharaoh, but he didn't force Pharaoh to do something that was contrary to his will. He just gave him the desires of his heart. This is what Pharaoh wanted all along. So God finally turned him over to his sin. And that is the danger of willful sin. Your heart becomes hard, and all of a sudden, God turns you over to that sin that you love so much. And then you're in big trouble. 13. And the Lord said to Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. Same message. Let my people go. I want them to serve me. Pharaoh, you want them to serve you. But you are wrong. They are to serve me. You're not their God. You're not their boss. You're not their Lord. I am. So let them go. He's going to lose this. You do realize that. 14. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon your heart and upon your servants and upon your people, that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. You're going to be convinced by the time I get done with you. 15. For now I will stretch out my hand that I might smite you and your people with pestilence, and you shall be cut off from the earth. And in very deed for this cause have I raised you up, for to show in you my power and my name that may be declared throughout all the earth. Pharaoh, your stubbornness is even working to my advantage. God would have gladly let Pharaoh alone. He would have become Egypt's God if they had only listened to him. But he willfully, with malice and aforethought, continued to harden his heart against God and the word of God. So God gave him the desires of his heart, and God also is using his stubbornness to showcase his power to the Egyptians, to his own people, the Israelites, and to the entire world. By the time God gets through with Pharaoh, everybody's going to know that he is God. And that's true. 17. As yet, exalt you yourself against my people, that you will not let them go. You just continue to do it, God says. I'm beating the tar out of you and your country, and you just keep refusing to cry uncle. So, verse 18, behold, tomorrow about this time, I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as has not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Hail. They very seldom got storms of any kind in Egypt, let alone hail. I mean, this would really be unusual. It's a sign. This is not normal. And on top of everything else, this should convince Pharaoh, and if his heart is too hard, it should convince the other people, the other Egyptians. And God says in verse 19, send therefore now and gather your cattle and all that you have in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them and they shall die. God is so gracious. He's giving a chance. He's giving people a chance to believe his word. And if they do believe and they act upon it, they will be spared this plague. It won't damage them. It won't hurt them in any way. So, there's the value in believing the word of God and acting on it. And it says in verse 20, he that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. So God gave the Egyptians an opportunity to avoid this plague. So he was being kind to them, giving them an opportunity to be spared. All they had to do was believe the word of God, which they should believe by now, and take steps. Take the steps that God tells them to take, and they would avoid this trouble. God's not willing that any perish, the Bible says, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't take any pleasure in punishing anyone, but they have to repent. They have to believe the word of God and do what it says in order to avoid the punishment. And it says in verse 21, he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. Nah, we don't have to obey the word of God. We'll be okay. Oh, really? 22, and the Lord said to Moses, stretch forth your hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man, upon beast, upon every herb of the field, throughout all the land of Egypt. So it's coming. God's working through Moses once again. 23, and Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was fire on the ground along with the hail. That's an unusual mix. Very devastating, obviously. Notice verse 24. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail. Very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. Not just regular hail, but you got hail that's producing fire too, on the ground, not in the air, but on the ground. This isn't just lightning. This is fire. And 25, and the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. The hail smote every herb of the field, broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. So, no hail at all where the Israelites lived, but hail throughout the rest of the country of Egypt. Again, God separating his people from the rebellious Egyptians. But again, even in the areas where he sent the hail in the land of Egypt, he gave them an opportunity to avoid it if they would only believe the word of God. 27. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. So he appears to be confessing his sin, doesn't he? Yeah, we'll see. He certainly is tired of getting battered, beaten up. 28, entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings and hails, and I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. I cave in. Whatever you want, whatever your God says, I will do. I'll let you go. Just stop this horrible hail and this fire that's devastating everything. This country is becoming a basket case. 29, and Moses said to him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands to the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that you may know how that the earth is the Lord's. You're going to be convinced that God is God when I ask him to stop the hail, and he does. You will know that the earth is the Lord's. He controls everything on this planet, including the weather. He can make it happen any way he wants to make it happen. And of course, just because Pharaoh knows that the earth is the Lord's doesn't mean he will persist in his repentance. Knowing what is true is one thing. Acting on it is completely different. 30, but as for you and your servants, I know that you will not yet fear the Lord God. Not enough. Still not enough to push you over the edge, is it, Pharaoh? You talk a good talk, but when you get a little relief, you're going to back off. You're going to back down on your promise to God. 31, and the flax and the barley was smitten, for the barley was in the ear, and the flax was bold, and it means in bud. So the crops were hit hard. 32, but the wheat and the rye were not smitten, for they were not grown up. In verse 33, and Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread abroad his hands to the Lord, and the thunders and the hail ceased, and the rain was not poured upon the earth. So Moses kept his end of the bargain, didn't he? He's giving Pharaoh every opportunity in the world. I should say God is. I'll change, Pharaoh says. Okay, then we'll take it away. See, that's the message that's being sent to Pharaoh. If you do what is right, these plagues will stop. And even when he says he's going to do what is right, God stops the plague, reverses the plague, so that he knows that God is a God of mercy. And he does relent. He does stop punishing when somebody comes to their senses. It's just that Pharaoh didn't persist with his repentance. Because look at verse 34. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants. So it's not just Pharaoh, it's his servants too, his advisors. They're all hardening their heart. And notice it was Pharaoh who hardened his heart this time. It wasn't God who hardened. I'm telling you, this guy is loving it. He hates the consequences of sin, but not as much as he hates God and the word of God. And boy, is he paying for that. And in 35, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken to Moses. In other words, God's not surprised by this. And Moses shouldn't be surprised by this either, because this is exactly what God said would happen.